I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Upstate Outdoors. We are live at the 49th annual Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. We got a lot more coming up, a couple more interviews. Philip just got back from four fresh tires and a round of wedge.
Actually, it was a line in the bathroom. I ain't gonna lie to you.
And so far, it's been a great show. There's a lot of people out here, and it's a beautiful day. So what we got coming up the rest of the show there, Killer?
We are going to have the Roadkill Cafe.
Of course.
Right? Hopefully you're prepared for that.
I am prepared, man.
We're also going to talk to our buddy Tom Money from Fish Stalker Lures down in Lawrence, South Carolina. Tom is over in the Strickland booth. And Strickland, they got a little fishing section.
Yes, they do. Always
where,
have.
Where they put a lot of the local vendors there. So come out and see. It's kind of reminiscent of the old days when they used to have a bunch of fishing folks downstairs and in the other hall. And I think they got the bridal show going on over there now.
So. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, all right, honey, you go over here and look at
I'm going to go look at boats.
Yes, I'm going to go look at boats. Also, we're going to have one of the members of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. They're getting ready to start up their training where they got classes. And we were talking a little bit before the show, and they said that the state of Georgia has just passed a requirement where they're requiring boaters to have boater education.
I have not heard that
coming
yet.
Coming up in the next year. So
wow.
I would look for South Carolina to probably get in that. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But in the meantime,
let me tell you something, folks. We have finally got the sun to come out, and I think we're going to see it. Well, not in here, but outside.
What's in that can?
It was good. And the only setback, folks, we got some cold weather this coming. I think we got a couple of nights this week. It's going to be like 19 for the low, but the sun is supposed to continue shining, so we can take one and deal with it. And the only thing I can think of in weather like this is some venison crock pot chili. So that's what we're fixing up today on Roadkill Cafe. So what you're going to need, about 2 pounds of ground or chopped venison that your best friend gave you that you do a radio show with every Saturday.
He didn't give me none.
And you're going to need one medium onion diced, all right, 1 cup of fresh sliced mushrooms, one garlic clove, and you want to mince that, 1 bell pepper, you're going to, chop it up, 2 ribs of celery, chop them up, a couple tablespoons of canola oil, 2 16-ounce cans of kidney beans, you want to rinse and drain those, okay, and 2 16-ounce cans of tomatoes undrained, 1.5 tablespoons of sugar. That gives it a little sweetness. And 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce and 1 package of chili mixing, chili seasoning, or 1.5 to 2 tablespoons of chili powder, whichever you prefer. 1 cup of beer and 2 cups of water. All right, salt and pepper to taste. It's very simple. Once you get all the ingredients taken care of, you pretty much had all the hard work done. So you're going to brown the venison, onions, mushroom, garlic, bell pepper, and celery in the canola oil. All right, and then you're just going to pour all that in the crock pot, okay? And then add the other ingredients, your kidney beans, your tomatoes, and your Worcestershire and your sugar. And you're going to mix it well. I got a big wooden spoon. Looks like a small boat paddle that I use to get all that stirred up in the crock pot good. And then you're done. You put it on medium for about 6 to 8 hours and get you a couple of pans of cornbread made up. It's what's my favorite with it. And if you want to cut down your cooking time, you can cook it on high for about 2 to 4 hours and you're good to go. So there you have it. Springer's Venison Crock Pot Chili for those cold winter days when you wish you was on the lake but it's just too cold for some of us.
And a couple of things that I would that I would mention to that too is you can put you some smoked paprika in there.
Yeah.
And that gives it a good kind of a barbecue type flavor. I wouldn't put a lot. I'd put
maybe, take a lot.
Maybe a teaspoon or so.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were talking about on you know, letting it, you can cook it high, you know, for a while.
Right.
You can even put that stuff on the stove if it's like, man, I got to get this made before dinner time.
True, I didn't think about that.
And it's 3 o'clock, and then put it in the crock pot. But the longer and the lower.
Yes.
You can let that and all them ingredients come together.
It's magic. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm tell you, and what's even better, Philip, is if you have leftovers and you take that and put it in a Tupperware or whatever, Rubbermaid, and put it in the refrigerator,
yep.
And the next day you heat it up, you even got more flavor going yep. on because yep. it just and all, if, it's awesome, man.
If you do that, though, and you put anything hot in there,
true.
You just put the fire to it.
Yes, you did.
Because that'll make it hot. What do you like on your chili? Do you just eat the chili out of the board, or are you one of them people that put...
You know, sometimes...
You cover it with shredded cheese and...
I like to go shredded cheese, and then sometimes...
Sour cream?
Not sour cream so much, just the cheese, but sometimes Lisa likes to fix just regular white rice, okay? Yeah, and then you just put a little bit of the rice in the bowl and scoop the chili on top of it.
It's got to be an Alabama thing.
It is, and then it's always done with cornbread. Every time we do chili, it's going to be a pan or two of cornbread, and my wife can make some fine cornbread, and she's just amazing. She's really amazing, and that's why I'm still married to her 134 years later.
134 years. You don't look a day over 130.
Well, I'm still working on that daggum senior discount at Hardee's, okay?
Yeah. May not be married too much longer. All these women
coming
by flirting with you.
I don't know what it is, dude. That's my neighbors. That's from the hood.
Women come by.
That's the hood.
Women come out of their way here at the boat
show to
see Springer.
I am the security guard slash varmint control of the hood, and I've had to help that one lady in the orange. I helped her with her porch one time, and then the other one who lives straight across from me, I had to run some varmints out of her garage one time.
Oh, so you're cheap labor. They're not chasing you down.
Because
you're a celebrity.
If they call me over,
yeah.
Guess what's in their hand open when I get there? It's a cold beer.
It's like, and guess what's in your hand open when you get there?
No, because I know what's coming up.
Oh, okay. Save my own. I'm going to drink somebody else's beer. Tommy Springer for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, that's how we roll in the Springer neighborhood in Moore, South Carolina. We're good people. I've known everybody I live next to. I've lived next to for 20 years.
Well, we're gonna go to a break, but we're at the boat show here until 2 o'clock today. Boat show is going to be going on today until 9 p.m. Tomorrow it's going to be open noon to 6 p.m. Tickets are $7 unless you're younger and older than the average guy. And parking's $5. You want more information, you can go to UpstateSCBoatShow.com. Let's go to our break. When we come back,
right here in Upstate Outdoors.
You get the Fish Stalker.
Yeah, we'll get the Fish Stalker. 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned.
And next up on the show, we have the pride of Lawrence County, South Carolina.
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
The greatest of all time.
Oh. I was wondering where you were going with that. We got Tom Mundy from Fish Stalker Lures. And you know how you are in Moore, South Carolina?
Yes, sir, Thomas.
Your reputation?
Yes, sir.
That's all of Lawrence County for Tom Mundy.
That's
if
amazing.
They got wildlife problems, if they got you want to know where the fish are, if they want to do stuff, that's Tom Mundy they talk to.
I hear you.
Want to find, hey, Tom, you know someplace I can go deer hunt? Tom hooks them up.
Yep. You're driving down any of the country roads down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see them.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Shoot from.
I'm impressed, Tom.
No.
Yeah, he'll tell them. He'll say, just, hey, look, just pull over. Game warden likes to set up right here, so don't go down that way. Shoot it out of the back of the truck, grab it, and run.
Yeah, take off.
That's Lawrence County.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, how long have you been doing Fish Stalker Lures now?
I'm going to say probably in the neighborhood around 23 years.
You ain't give up on it yet?
I'm not going to give up on it.
Yeah.
No.
I was talking
Can't
to him
now, too far no. in debt, right?
Yeah.
I was talking to him earlier. He said if he could get up on anything, it'd be that there full time job that he could get, if he could get away with it.
Yeah. Gotta keep my job.
I remember when you came out, I do remember when you came out. I'm old.
You are old.
Yeah, we're all old.
I remember when you came out in the bass fishing industry first.
Yep. Yes, sir, I did.
And are you still doing a lot of bass fishing stuff?
I do a lot of bass fishing stuff, shad spins and all that stuff. Yeah, I do I still was just as big as I was when I was, you know, first started on it.
Are you pouring a lot of bass fishing plastics and all that, or is it mainly just the heads and
the
all
heads,
that?
The heads, the spinner baits, buzz baits, pigging jigs, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so big time on that. You got a I remember you had a couple of pro staff guys that were fishing bass. Now, you still got a couple of bass pro staff
still
guys?
Yeah, still got a few of them out there, and got a few on the crappy side, too.
Yep.
But his passion is crappy.
Yes.
By far.
By far.
Now, how did that change?
Getting old.
He did. Hey, look. Hey, you know, we all laugh about it.
Yeah. But it's true.
But it's spot on because, I mean, like, well, that one's not the suicide, but looking over there at that bass tracker, and I'm sure they got the panfish over there. You don't have a suicide stick steer on your boat yet,
no,
do you?
No,
that's
no,
coming,
not.
Though.
It's coming. Yeah, it's coming.
If you live on Lake Greenwood, you go from that glitter rocket that goes 80 miles an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you start pairing back, and then one day you find yourself sitting in the front of the boat, too fat and too old to get up and go to the back to crank it. So you just sit in that one chair.
Drive it and everything.
And drive it and steer from the front.
Yep. Live weld right behind you.
Live weld.
You ain't got to move.
Ain't got to move. Just cast, put them in there, then go home, eat some more fried food.
That's it.
Perfect. I'm sold, man.
Now that's that
sounds like a winner.
Winner, and crappy dinner.
And we're all laughing about it, but it is the honest truth.
Yep. I mean, these young guys get out here and get these rockets like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running a little 90. Little 90 and G3, that's it.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you, Tom, you do so many things with different baits and stuff, but your crappy baits, do you do a lot of your research and development yourself?
Yes,
personally,
I do.
Hands-on, don't
you? Yeah, hands-on.
So if you say, hey, this is going to do this, and those water conditions and that deal, you know exactly what you're talking about.
Tell him the story about how the slab tail came about. I know the story, so tell it, Springer.
About the freshwater shrimp?
Yep.
They didn't realize there was freshwater shrimp in Greenwood.
There is. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people don't know what they look like.
Yeah, I was going to start a shrimp and boat business in that place, but they ain't big enough.
Sound like forest now.
Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
But we designed it off something like that, it's the way it swims and everything, and we come out with the several different sizes for different people, but the freshwater shrimp is where it came from.
Wow.
So man told me about it down there, and I told him, no, you're crazy. You know, you don't believe when you don't know, I don't guess.
But a shrimp cocktail made out of Lake Greenwood shrimp, you'd have to eat a bunch of them because they only about
– they's microscopic.
Yeah,
microscopic.
Just about. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So
– all you can eat.
You know, somebody told me a long time ago – actually, it was Ronnie Capps, one of the B&M pro staffers that you're on pro staff with. He said if you look at the difference between a black crappie and a white crappie, you know, a lot of folks can't even tell the difference between them. But a black crappie – he said it'll eat anything.
Yep.
Whereas a white crappie is mostly only going to eat fish.
Yeah.
And he said, because he was telling me he lives up on Real Foot Lake, and he said black crappie will eat, tadpoles, and he'll eat bugs and anything. So that shrimp makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So like I said, the white crappie around here is not the population that, you know, I wish we had.
Yeah.
Our population is the black crappie. And you should about throw anything out there to them.
Yeah.
They'll eat it. And that's like you said. Like, you know,
I've never caught one on cricket, though.
I have.
Have you?
Cricket, red worm. They'll eat anything.
I've caught them on a red worm, but not the cricket. Really?
Yeah, I've caught one on cricket. So. Fishing for brim in the beds.
Yep.
On outside the beds and stuff.
And a crappie got in there.
Oh, yeah.
He thought, I'm going to eat that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else around me is eating them. I might as well eat it.
And a crappie will eat brim fry, won't he? He'll eat them up, won't he?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. So, and you know, talking about Lake Greenwood, I don't think I have ever seen a white crappie come out of Lake Greenwood.
I never have.
Yeah.
And I mean, I heard people say they have caught a few, but when somebody tells me they caught 20 white crappie, they don't know the difference.
They caught a female black crappie.
Yeah, that's what they caught. Or deep water.
Right.
You know, they ain't got the spots on them yet.
Right.
Most of them are females, and people don't realize the difference in the spots in the lines. You know?
Yeah.
They got the bars on the white crappie.
So, looking at the – and you've also turned it into a seminar speaker because you got a schedule you're doing. You're going down to Sportsman's Warehouse. Is it next weekend?
No, we'll be at Hunter's Headquarters next weekend.
Hunter's Headquarters. And when are you going back to break on the lake?
As soon as it warms up. Yeah. We're outside. He gives us the outside balcony out there. We'll be on break on the lake as soon as it gets warm enough where the people feel comfortable coming in.
And I was down there talking with one of the folks at Break on the Lake right there at the main bridge. They call that the connector now or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, the connector.
You've been fishing under that bridge since it was there, and you never knew it was called the connector, did you?
No, 72, 221, whatever they want to call it.
Right. But the Break on the Lake there, a great facility there. Yep. And I said, hey, you know Tom Mundy? He said, oh, yeah. He comes out here and does fishing seminars. Yeah. And he said, fill this place up.
Yep. We fill them up. I mean, we had 70 people in that last one. And, you know, getting them in that one room, they stand in, sitting on the steps, down the rail, wherever they can find a place.
I can't do that.
But why not?
Huh? I mean, I can't fill a room like that. It's just.
Well, look what you got here.
Yeah.
It's my own. Well.
They ain't here because of me, though.
I hear you, Tom.
And they sure as hell ain't here because of me.
They're here despite me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, and that's it's amazing how much, you know, Lake Greenwood's growing. But you're still doing a lot of fishing down around Lake Murray and going other places?
I do some on Murray. I've been invited up to Hartwell by several people,
mm-hmm.
and been invited to go out towards Lake Gunnersville.
Gunnersville?
Yeah.
That's where they're going to have the, I think it's the American Crappie Trail.
Yeah.
It's coming. They're going to start out in Gunnersville.
Yep. And want me to come fish with them, so we're going to go up there.
And that's a good question there, too. How far and wide can you find fish stalker baits now? Obviously, internet's
worldwide. Everywhere. Yeah, worldwide. As far as mailing out, I've got probably 49 different states now.
Okay,
so you figure about every one.
Now, where do you have stores at that are carrying your products?
Stores as nationwide would be probably Sportsman's Warehouse.
Yeah, right.
And Palmetto State Armory.
Right.
They're carrying in all their stores now, and around here, about every little store, mom and pops, and some of the bigger stores around here.
Now, you having to take those out there to them, or you got people for that?
Sometimes I do. I like to get out on the road. I like to still meet the people and deal with people.
So you got people, yeah.
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 And we do have a few people run for us. Like, you know, I'm going to talk to you about that later.
Oh. I already got three jobs, man.
Yeah.
I can't run no more baits.
I forgot I had a story for Tom. This past summer when I went where you know where I go and do that saltwater thing,
oh, yeah.
Okay, the Spanish were really small, okay, and the water was almost just crystal clear, and we was having a problem getting strikes and so forth and so on. And I looked in the bottom of my tackle box, and there's a little old pack of fish stalker crappie, the white clear.
Yeah.
Okay, so Springer double rigged it like a spec rig. Because they know about fish stalker lures there and go.
That's good to know.
You know what I'm saying? Because I double rigged them, and they were eating really, really small looking baits. And they just jumped off. I went through that pack pretty quick.
Yeah, Spanish mackerel eat them up.
Yeah,
they'll eat them up because the water was so clear and they were so finicky. I was having to go mono so I could get a lot of strikes.
Yeah.
I got a lot of strikes. And
well,
I went through
come see me in a little bit. I'll get you some more of them.
But I just thought that they'll catch anything.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you have not really targeted the saltwater community per se.
No, as on the shad spins I have.
Yeah, where you go with the gold.
Yeah, gold blades. You got to go with gold down there.
Got to go with gold.
We have made some of the bigger bucktails, the 2, 3s, and 4 ounces for certain people, you know. Down there, Somersville store carries the big bucktails.
Oh,
stuff,
okay.
Yeah. And they carry some of the saltwater additions too.
Wow.
Mainly a redfish lure. First time you ever heard of somebody catching a Spanish rack roll in that.
Yeah, that's the first time
I heard it. But it makes sense. You know, as a fisherman, you're trying to think like a fish.
Yeah.
You're looking at the conditions, what's going on. I'm digging in my tackle box frantically, and there it was, a little old pack of fish stalker, dadgum, little old crappie, and there was the clear pearl, and boom, light went on. I rigged them up real quick, and
downside.
I caught my limit.
Yep. That's a good thing.
How many did they cut you off with a mono? The rest of them?
Yeah. You catch about one fish and lose two. Sometimes you'd catch two, lose one, you know. So, you know, I was just double rigging them. So it was pretty cool, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Fish
That's
stalker
awesome.
Lures.
Is there anything new on the horizon for a fish stalker?
Well, yeah. I mean, we got a bunch of new colors here at the show today. And we playing with some colors. We're fixing to come out with probably a triple tail or a curly tail.
A triple tail?
Yeah.
All right.
Or a curly tail.
Now we're talking.
And 2-inch. We're going to probably start out with 2-inch and probably do 2.5.
Yeah. How long before that hits the market?
With everything going on right now, probably going to be fall season.
Okay.
It'll be a few months.
Nothing to look forward to this spring.
No, not this spring. It won't be.
Yeah, I love me. And folks call it triple tail, triple ripple, stuff yeah. like that, with the three tails on that. I have used some of those lures and catch a lot of fish
on
those.
Trolling, you know, trolling season fixing to hit.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the water, I guess Greenwood's getting about ready now.
Yeah.
It's getting kind of, it's fishable now.
It's muddy.
Yeah.
But it's fishable.
It's fishable. The river's been on fire to two bridges
mm-hmm.
up here at Reedy and Raven.
Yeah.
You go up there and catch a limit now, easy.
Wow.
So.
And, you know, one of the things I really look forward to on Lake Greenwood is if you go up to Saluda when the if you like catching white perch.
Oh, yeah.
And usually I hate them. But you can go up here just probably about another month and where the water's
yep.
running and catch them as many as you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they white perch is everywhere on
yeah.
that lake.
Yeah. Are you still seeing the white bass show up? Or I know a few years ago, and I was up there and caught a few true white bass.
Yeah.
But are they making a comeback?
I don't think the white bass is. I think the perch is pretty well. The spots are coming.
They got them.
Yeah.
The spots. Now, yeah, the spots, that was the last thing, because the last place you could find the old white bass.
Yeah.
And years ago, you said, well, the white bass run's going on down at Lake Greenwood. Everybody used to go do that.
Yeah.
There's still a few in there, and I've caught a few in the last few years, but then the spotted bass came in.
Yeah, spotted bass got in there, and, I mean, they've taken over a good bit of that lake.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a mess. Well, we got to go to our break. Then when we come back, we're going to talk to the Coast Guard Auxiliary about some of the classes that they've got going on. Tom, it's great to have you on the show with us.
Been a pleasure.
Come back anytime, and we are going to be live Upstate Outdoors, coming to you from the Boat Show. We got about 30 more minutes, but the Boat Show will be here until 9 o'clock tonight. Come on out. Look for a boat. Come get you some fish, dog, or lures.
Yes, because they'll catch anything.
Yeah,
thank you,
right.
Tom.
Thank y'all.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, live at the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show, where we just got through talking to the GOAT, Tom Mundy, and we'll be talking to the Coast Guard next. Stay tuned.
And we're back. Upstate Outdoors is on the radio with you today. We're coming to you live from the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. It's the 49th annual boat show. If it's on the water, it's here at the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show.
Absolutely.
We got the latest models of boats, fishing, pontoon, speed, ski, cruisers, personal watercraft. Springer's looking at some financing on one of them right now.
Not.
You can talk to the pros from the best boating and marine shops in the Upstate. We got Palmetto Boat Center, JC Sports, Strickland Marine, Carolina Water Sports, 72 Marine, and
everybody in between.
And then we got the support cast.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things, if I think about the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary, it's a support.
I agree.
And it's what they've always done. And we've got Bruce Lindsay with us from the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you.
It's a... Enjoyed meeting you this morning, Philip and Randy.
Tommy.
It's Tommy. Yes.
Yeah, it's all good.
We call him Springer.
We haven't shaken hands yet. So
how you doing, Mr. Bruce?
Yes, thank you.
I like that.
So you folks are, now you do a lot, you know, we're selling a lot of boats here at the boat show, but one of the things that a lot of people don't point out is, you know, the rules of the road and training and stuff like that, and that's where you folks come in.
Yes, it is. We're not alone with this. The U.S. Power Squadron does that sort of thing, and likewise the South Carolina, South Carolina and Georgia Departments of Natural Resources also do. Some of theirs is not as friendly as ours. Sometimes I compare what we do to a sign I saw on a billboard one day for a driving under the influence and showed a squad car and a taxi and said, one of these will take you home.
Right.
So we're more in that latter category.
Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, the other one comes with jail time.
Yes. So I'll get back to some of those functions in a moment. But at any rate, we were talking about the boat show, and the holidays are over. It's really exciting to be here at the show. And last year was the biggest show I've seen. It now takes the whole hall. And in the past years that I've been here, the hall had been broken off of the curtains at some point, but they fill the whole thing this year.
Yes, sir.
If we could run the bridal show out of the next door, we could probably fill up that.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd appreciate that, though.
They don't have a anybody here something with the franchise for the motorized skateboards, mm-hmm. so you can make it easy from one end to the other.
Oh, yeah, the Segways.
The Segways. Yes. Well, me and Philip was talking earlier real quick. The brides are downstairs.
Yes.
The husbands are up here.
I just, yes. what planning? Yes.
Yeah, if I'm fixing to get married, though, I'm going to stick with my wife before I send her over there.
Yeah, true enough.
Because she can spend a whole lot more money quicker over there than I could here.
True.
You think so?
No. You talk about a woman fixing to get married, man. Cha-ching.
Yeah, you're right.
Of course,
okay.
Her dad has to historically, her dad would have to fool with that.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about some of the training classes.
Yes.
And what do you folks are offering for, whether somebody's a seasoned boater or they're new in boating, what kind of classes do you guys offer?
We offer, basically here we're doing one public safety class,
mm-hmm.
and it's about a six-hour class plus a test. And with the test, we do either Georgia or South Carolina questions and rules as part of the course, so that when they're done with the course, if they're in either place, we give them a card that they've been to a boater safety class.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're in South Carolina, we also send the information to South Carolina DNR, and it gets entered into their database, and they get a South Carolina boater's card as a result of the class. And part of the result of the class also, children, youth, 12 to 16 can in either state, mm-hmm. can operate a jet ski or a small boat on their own if they've had the class. Georgia passed a law several years ago after a couple of bad accidents that now requires anybody born after January 1st of 1998 to have had a class.
Right.
So in another 100 years, everybody will have had a class.
And I think that's really important.
And I really do. I also think that that's probably going to be, and you know, we've talked to several
yes.
DNR officers about the need for boater training. And I think at some point they're going to pull the trigger on that. That's going to be hard, like you said. It's easier for them to kind of grandfather everybody in
yes.
versus, taking somebody that's been boating their whole life and say, you can't get back on your boat until you pass this class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That would be a challenge. But I think that's coming. I think it's – and I really think we need to with the number of people that are moving into our state and into the southeast and in our waterways. I really think you're going to have something, and I kind of envision something similar to a driver's license that you would have on a boat.
And when you think about that, we've had driver's licenses almost as long as there have been cars.
Yes, sir.
Have had pilot's licenses almost as long as there have been airplanes. Oddly, Orville and Wilbur have pilot license number 5 and 6 because when they issued the licenses, they went alphabetically.
Right.
Instead of chronologically by when the people should have qualified.
Right.
But boating has happened since before written history.
Right.
We talked earlier about a man discovering that they could lay on a log and paddle across the river.
Springer still does that sometimes.
Okay. But then, people learned how to row,
right.
paddle,
mm-hmm.
Sail.
Yeah.
Then we got steam.
Yeah.
But in any of those, either you learned by experience without endangering anybody else, or you had an apprenticeship. You didn't go out normally on any type of sailboat without having been on one.
Right.
Well, in the 1920s, automobile engines became available, and they started putting auto engines into boats. And now people are accustomed to getting on boats and no formal training, licensing or anything. But now we have vessels that can begin to move at some speed, and you don't have to have any background to use. So I think that's why we haven't had licensing. It just didn't happen.
Right.
Boats have already always been here.
And the other thing that goes along with that is the rules of the road. If when you're a kid and you're riding in mom and dad's car, you pick up rules of the road, secondhand, almost intrinsically.
Yes.
But when you're on a boat, even if you're riding on a boat with mom and dad, the rules of the road on the waterway, it's like, well, there's not somebody going that way, so we'll go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not white and yellow lines.
Yeah,
no,
and
no.
A lot
yes.
of folks don't realize, there are rules of the road when it comes to on the water.
Absolutely, and they're not the same. The physics of the operation are the same. The controls are not the same. The rules are not the same. So people get out there and they don't know it. And funny thing also, get on a new body of water, you probably experienced this, that you go around the corner, and you don't know where you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it all looks the same.
Yep.
Or it's all different.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll cover that in just a little bit, I'm sure. Tell me what you said a moment ago.
Well, we were talking about the training classes. What type of training class, and if folks are interested in signing up for and attending a class, where do they go?
Yes. For our class, they can look up the Flotilla 25 online, or the best way is to go in to the National Coast Guard Auxiliary website, which is just CGAUX.org, and they can put in there for looking for a class, and they put in their zip code, and it will tell them where their nearest class is. And I have to admit, we don't have our listed there yet, but I'll go and do that this weekend.
Yeah. What are some of the locations that you guys teach classes at?
Normally, we teach them in the Anderson area, either at Portman Marina, or we'll be finding another area. I may be looking at one of the hospitals for a conference room.
Oh, you could go over to the Cabela's in Greenville, and they're looking for stuff.
Write that down.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. We work with them as much as we can.
Our friend Kaylin Harbin.
Yes.
She schedules all that, so look her up over there at Cabela's.
Yes.
And so how long do these classes normally last?
Plan on a day.
Yeah.
Okay. It's about 6 hours for the instruction, and then the test. And I believe it's 70% required passing on the test.
Yeah.
We have very few people who fail. And you mentioned about experienced boaters. My mechanic came to one of the classes we taught. He's been repairing boats for 50 years. I think he was 14 when he started.
Yeah.
And he brought his grandkids to the class. And I wasn't teaching the class. I just happened to go by the lake at the time. And asked him if he learned it. He said no. He said, yes, I guess I did. And I have never met anybody who didn't learn something
from taking a class. Now, is there a charge for these classes?
Yes, we charge $15 per person for the class.
Uh-huh.
And we'll loan them the book for the class. If they want the book, then it's another $15 for that. And they might want one for the family if they come as a group. We give a packet of materials at the class. So in the packet, we'll include the state's Department of Natural Resources little law book. I have one someplace here.
Yep.
I'll hold it up here where your radio audience can see it.
There you go.
That's awesome.
And we do that all the time.
We do it all the time. Don't worry about it, Mr. Lindsay.
Okay. And in talking about, well, okay, we'll come back to what's in the class.
Well,
we
got to go to a commercial break. Let's give the website information one more time where folks can get the information and go to the class.
CGAUX.org. And they should be able to look at classes at the top of that. And when they go down to PE classes, put in their zip code, and it'll tell them the nearest classes within probably, well, whatever, 50 miles or 100 miles of whatever they put in. But we're here in, well, I say here. I forget where I am. Anderson is where we normally are.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that's a good place to get your kids legal. And if you're in an area that's going to require boater education, get yourself legal. Bruce Lindsay, Coast Guard Auxiliary, thanks for being on the show with us. And we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be wrapping up with a calendar of events and our parting shot.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned.
Well, in speed dating fashion, Springer's going to get through the calendar of events because we got stuff to do.
Right here. Here we got going on this weekend. As you all know, we've been talking about it all day, the South Carolina Boat Show. It'll be here tomorrow from noon to 6 p.m., so come by and get you some. And also coming up, our friends down at the Clinton House Plantation on February the 1st will be having a tower shoot. And, man, if you ain't ever been a part of anything like that, you need to call down to our buddy at the Clinton House at 864-833-0274. It's the number Philip gives every time he does a live remote. Or if you're an email kind of guy, you can go to Mike at theclintonhouse.net. Okay, so what's next? Oh, we got another one of them squirrel shoots, Philip Gentry. We got one coming up in Greenwood, the Greenwood Trine Club, okay? the second annual on Saturday, February the 2nd, where? Greenwood Shrine Club. Okay, starting time is at 7 a.m. Squirrel shoot entry fee, $40 per team. Two-man team, first-place team, top total weight and trophy, and also a largest squirrel prize. So that sounds interesting, and for more information on that, you can go to the Greenwood Shrine Club, .org, or you can call at 864-554-2562, and they'll give you some more information on that. Next, we got our buddy Chris Wells. That cat's going to be busy.
He is busy.
He's going to be busy. He's got a couple wild game banquets coming up. Two here locally. I'm going to tell you about both of them. One is at the First Baptist Spartanburg Recreation Center, and that's going to be on February the 7th and February the 9th. And he will be doing another one in March at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church on Saturday, March the 9th. That's
in Buffalo, South Carolina.
That would be Buffalo,
not
South Carolina.
Not the one in Greer.
Exactly. I seen y'all got that straightened out. And that's another thing real quick while I have a chance. And for any more information on those, you can go to Facebook.org/wildgame, or you can go to Chris Wells, Bass Chaplain on Facebook, and get that information. And also, you can go to our website, because we have been putting those on this time,
yep.
And then you may have to scroll down to get to them, but they're all on our Facebook page, Upstate Outdoors. Okay, we got another event coming up in February on the 8th. It's a hunting heritage banquet, and that's down in Aiken at the Aiken County Fairgrounds. For more information, you can call Brian at 803-502-4378. I know that's a little stretch for some of y'all, but a lot of people here and there like to go to these things, and that one will be going on February the 8th, 6 p.m. Go to the NWTF website for more information. Click on events, and it'll lead you right to it. And our own famous GOAT, Mr. Philip Gentry, will be doing serious seminars starting February 1st and 2nd and the 8th and 9th at our place of we'd love to go to at Cabela's, right up the road from the intercom station on Woodruff. And, man, they're going to have all kind of stuff going on and those two weekends. And we will be live there on the 9th, so come by and see us again. I got another squirrel tournament. This one's by our buddies at Carolina Farm and Wildlife on February the 23rd. And for more information on that, please give our buddy Bart Littlejohn a call at 864-585-0935. He'll fill you in on the information there. Another hunting heritage banquet.
Pace yourself.
In Greenville, the Greenville Wild Turkey South Carolina chapter, and it will be at the St. George Hellenic Center on, February the 20th at 6 p.m. And for more information on that, you can call Cliff Timmons at 864-616-6789. And we got the Lions Club is having a fishing tournament. That's coming up later. I think this is like April or something of that nature. I'm going to tell you, April the 6th. All right, Greer CPW Bass Tournament organized by the Greer Centennial Lions Club to be held April the 6th on Lake Robinson. And for more information, you can give the Lions Club a look at on www.lionsclub.org and look for more information there. Or please contact Brooke, LATHROP at GrandSouth.com. I couldn't pronounce it.
We'll also have Allison Roush.
Yes.
She's going to be on the show when it gets closer to the time. We'll be talking about that.
And that's it, Philip.
And that's our calendar events for today.
And there's a couple more that I didn't be able that are later down in the months. They are on our Facebook page at facebook.com/1063WRD/UpstateOutdoors.
Or something similar to that.
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say.
And for those of you who are looking for something to do this weekend, Upstate Outdoors, we're going to be packing it up here in a little bit and take that nerve-wracking spinning wheel with us. But you can be here until 9 p.m. and see all the boats, and come out tomorrow from noon until 6 p.m. and they'll be here. And the tickets are $7 for adults if you want to come to the boat show, $6 for students age 6 through 18, seniors 60 and over, and 6 and under are free. So you could get rid of Grandpa and your kid, just send them out here. They come out here for free, right? You can go fishing.
Exactly.
If you already got a boat.
Or get some peace and quiet.
That's right.
Exactly.
Get them out of there. You can get more information at UpstateSCBoatShow.com. And before we leave, it's time for our parting shot. Well, social media is good if you want to post pictures of yourself for people you hadn't seen in forever,
and
if you've never seen.
Mm-hmm. And the first thing, if I'm going to post media, social media pictures of myself, I'm going to make sure my dental work is taken care of.
Yeah, well, and coming from a guy from Alabama, that's
that means
something.
A lot.
That means a lot. So we got a story from Wide Open Spaces about some Oregon, how do you say that? Oregon?
Either way.
Oregon elk poachers who were busted after posting their kill on Facebook. An Oregon elk poaching case has led to two Oregon men losing hunting privileges for the next 3 years and $7,600 in fines. See, if they hadn't done that, they could have bought that jet ski you were wanting.
Sure.
David Maxwell Jr. and Alan Bowl both agreed to plea deals, according to Oregon Live. In taking the deal, Maxwell was hit with misdemeanor poaching charges and faces $7,600 in fines for taking a bull elk with a bow without a permit. Also charged was Alan Bowl, who pleaded no contest and avoided fines, but like Maxwell, will face a year of probation. Maxwell also got – how did they get his buddy?
I don't know. Maybe he spilled –
I just realized that.
Maybe he spilled the beans when the heat got hot in the kitchen.
Yeah, but he didn't shoot it. What, he helped drag it?
He was part of it.
Concealing?
So, yeah.
Anyway, the two men were only busted because of their mistake in posting photos of the crime to social media. Maxwell posted photos of the elk on the Oregon Big Game Hunting Facebook page last August. He ain't smiling here.
Not much.
He must have had his dentures in. But an Oregon state trooper also saw the photos and, upon running Maxwell's name through a database, found a man hadn't purchased an elk tag.
That's not good.
That's a story in and of itself.
10-4 on
that. He looks like a poacher. I think I'll run his numbers. Maxwell later confessed to the crime during an investigation. That's when he had the hot light on him.
Yeah.
Talk. Just like they're doing Bugs Bunny.
Exactly.
Although law enforcement said the men left the elk to rot.
A
subsequent post by Maxwell to the same Facebook page claimed otherwise. The group still banned Maxwell as a member of the group once the news broke. And this isn't the first time that social media has helped bust poachers. A Washington man was caught after bragging about a mountain lion that was last December. So if you're on social media and you're going to be a poacher,
don't go on social media.
Yeah, don't post pictures of
it. I mean, I'm not trying to help you, hide your – but have some sense.
If you're going to break the law, don't be stupid. Of course, I guess you wouldn't break the law if you wasn't stupid.
Don't be a moron, a nincompoop.
So we had a great time today. Want to thank everybody who's been on the show with us today. Can you read them off?
I can read.
We had Vince Johnson with us from 72 Marine.
Tom Marlowe from Key West.
Also, our buddy Oscar McCurry.
Tom Mundy.
And then
Mr. Lindsay from the Auxiliary Coast Guard.
Bruce Lindsay. And folks want to come on out. Boat show's going to be going on until 9 o'clock p.m. Today. They'll be open tomorrow from noon until 6. About everything that you want to see in the boating, fishing. Got a lot of the folks that if you're building a dock or looking at doing some stuff to the lake lot down there, got a lot of that. Also, the guys that didn't have a chance to get them on, but with the vintage fishing tackle.
Oh, my gosh.
Down there at the end, old Hack.
Yeah.
Had him on a couple of years ago. So, come on out to the show, and there's a lot to see here. It's a really good show. It seemed like Mr. Lindsay was saying, they have filled up all of Hall 1 this year.
From one end to the other.
From one end to the other. Got snack bar on either end. So, tickets are just $7, $6 for a student. Like I said, if Grandpa and kids driving you nuts, send them out. It won't cost them nothing except for $5 to park.
Exactly.
So what was your favorite thing? You going to go back over and look at that jet ski?
I'm probably going to look at that jet ski again. And then I'm just going to go stroke that Key West Center console one more time.
Yeah. I'll have to go warn Tom Marlowe.
The only thing I'm mad about today is I didn't get to see Boat Girl, and I'm pretty pissed off about that.
Oh, she ain't here. She'll be here after the show.
I'm just saying.
But we had a great show. I want to thank everybody, and come on down, and that's the end of our show today. Springer, take us home.
God bless. It's cold outside, but it feels like spring here, and come by and see it at the Greenville Civic Center. Love you, mean it. Talk to you next week. God bless.